Welcome back to New Rock Stars. The new trailer for Venom, Let There Be Carnage, gave us our first look at Woody Harrelson as Cletus Kasady, serial killer who loves to doodle. But how will Carnage get his powers exactly? And once he does, what's his plan? I'm Eric Voss. This is Rogue Theory, the show where we speculate on all the things we're a little too obsessed with. With me today is an amazing panel of returning Rogue Theory guests, starting with New Rockstar's own MT, and it is his birthday today. Happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you to everybody. May 13th is my birthday, so thank you. I feel a lot older. I'm still bald, but I feel older. You can tell the oldness on the inside with the bones creaking. Mostly. Yeah.
But you hear weird sounds throughout the broadcast, that is MT's bones.
Yeah, that's just so. the wind hitting me and my bones creaking in the wind.
So. Also back on the show is my favorite symbiote, or as she pronounces it, symbiote, Jessica Clemens.
howdy doody. Hello. Happy howdy birthday, doody. MT. Is a storm a coming, or is that just your knees a cracking?
Option two, Jess. Option two.
Thank you, baby. And welcome back, writer and comedian Erica Wusu.
Hey.
Hello, internet people, and happy birthday, MT.
Oh, thanks, homie.
Oh my God, you guys, we're a family.
Hi. Yes, we are. And this family's got to talk about Carnage because we just met Cletus Kasady in this Venom Let There Be Carnage trailer. We first saw him back in the post-credit scene of the first Venom when he had that Sideshow Bob do. But now he's in this trailer for the sequel. We're seeing a lot more of Woody Harrelson as both the imprisoned serial killer, Cletus Kasady, and his new form, the symbiote Carnage. Mm. But we don't see in the trailer how that symbiote and Cletus Kasady come together. We have an understanding in the comics where, you know, Eddie Brock and Cletus share a prison cell, and then Venom helps Eddie escape, but then leaves a little goo behind, and then that, you know, and makes him Carnage. But like, how's it gonna happen in the movie? Like, is it gonna be some kind of weird fluid swap when Eddie visits him in prison?
They just make out.
We're gonna get a big kiss.
And Venom's like, "Ooh, I want it on this
movie." Yes.
He was like, "I liked making out in the first movie. Let's do it again."
Aww. Well, it has It has to be during that interview. It doesn't have to be, but I don't think it's going to be like the same as it is in the comics where he's like making a shank and trying to stab him. But I think, and also in the trailer, since we see Carnage coming out of Woody Harrelson's body when he's about to die, it has to be between that time of like interview to him being killed. So it has to be in that interview, like maybe he comes too close. And then they fight, and then the security guard pulls him away. I don't think that old man would, but I think Eddie Brock would move away. And then the fluid is left on him, the symbiote fluid. It has to be in there. It can't be. Yeah. It can't be like in the comics.
It's a good point, Jessica. You're right. It has to happen in that period of time. But it brings up two questions there. One, could it have been that Cletus already had it through some other means?
Oh.
But two, if it is passed on from Eddie, why does the Venom symbiote leave Eddie? Is it just like if you touch him for too long, it passes on? It seems like there has to be kind of a choice of that passage, correct?
Yes. Mm. Also, before anyone else goes, I will say real talk. I don't think the Null has anything to do with it yet. Is that too rogue? So what we have in the comics, right? Well, Cletus was born and he was like, I'm on a mission with, like, Noel was the one that was in the hospital. So I don't think we're going to get any of Noel yet. Noel's too big to come in that soon. That's how I feel. Someone else take it away. I just think that it's like, that's going to be further down the line. Because Eternal Celestial stuff. That's
100%,
so big 100%. That we can't. And this movie is an association with Marvel. It's not it's not like Marvel film. I don't think it's going to show up or appeal in the MCU necessarily. It's still Sony. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's not going to be. They're not going to let Noel like come in like that. But someone else take away, please. Yeah. Go ahead.
I do want to touch on the Noel thing when we when we continue our conversation in regards to the MCU connection.
Okay.
But yeah, I totally agree that Null will not play a factor in this film because he's too big of a character. Mm-hmm. But I do think that this movie is setting up a Null type situation. Mm-hmm. Just because of like just Thor 4 coming out and like with the Necro Sword and like they're going to really get into the period of time before the Big Bang where it was all darkness, because that's where the Venom symbiotes come from. It's that time where there was just nothing in the universe, that darkness. Yeah. So we're definitely going to have that probably tie in, but like, anyway, we should probably focus on the actual question at hand without talking about Null.
This is the question at hand.
It is a good question, because it could be Null that gave him the powers, so we're just deducing that Null has nothing to do with getting the powers.
This is true.
Right now.
Okay, this is, you're right, this is part of the question.
No, it's true.
But yeah, so I think that this with Venom and Riot and all the symbiotes, they come from the beginnings of the universe, in this universe as well as in Tobey Maguire's universe, because the symbiote does live there. So I think they're all these universes have the same origin in terms of this darkness creating the symbiote, and also again the Necro Sword that we're going to see in Thor 4 wielded by Gore. So I feel like they're going to really just emphasize that the origins of the symbiotes with moving forward with Null.
So going back to how do we get Carnage in this movie film that's coming out in association with Marvel, but mostly by Sony. I think these movies, especially the Sony Marvel movies, they kind of small scale what happens in the comics. So I think with the origin of Carnage, because, you know, in the comics, Eddie Brock and Cletus, such a funny country
name. Stupid name.
Cletus and Bruno, of course.
Yeah. Oh no, watch out, it's Cletus! He's got a knife!
It's all fun and games until he kills a bunch of animals, you guys. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, Jesus. It's like roadkill that he's bringing home to eat. Like, Cletus, put down that dead possum.
Cletus. No, Cletus.
But anyway, so Cletus in this Carnage movie, the Let There Be Carnage Venom 2, I think...
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi: People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
What will happen, the key to him becoming Carnage will be the little letter that goes back and forth between Eddie Brock and Cletus. Because in the trailer, we see Eddie Brock is looking at this little letter. It's like white, but with red writing on it. And, you know, this is while Venom tucks him into the table and squirts the ketchup and all that stuff is happening. So I think somehow, some way, a little bit of the Venom Eddie Brock symbiote gets onto that letter. And then it gets back to Cletus somehow, and somehow, some way, either that's how Cletus gets it, or on one of the visits that Eddie Brock takes and goes to the San Quentin prison to visit Cletus, he's a prisoner. Maybe he does fashion some sort of shank and kind of shank Eddie Brock in the hand real quick, or try to get some DNA. I think mainly because Cletus, because he's, you know, mentally disturbed and, you know, has some issues. He sees or senses Eddie Brock, a difference or change in Eddie Brock, and how he might, maybe he's talking to Venom, but misspeaks the way Eddie Brock goes into the convenience store. He kind of misspeaks to Miss Chen and says, hey, Venom says, what's up? So maybe something like that happens when Eddie goes to visit Cletus in prison to get more interview stories of, you know, torturing and killing people. And Cletus is like, huh, two people were talking to me. Let's see what this is about.
I feel like he had to have the powers before, because in the trailer he also, which I don't know in the timeline of what the trailer, the dialogue is in, but in the trailer he mentions, like, we have a lot in common, a lot more than you'd think, Eddie Brock.
Right.
So maybe he, like Eddie Brock obviously can't hide the fact that Venom, like, is inside of him. So I think he's just, like, acknowledging, like, we both have a lot of similarities. I have a symbiote. What did you say I call it? Voss, you said I call it a symbiotic.
Symbiote.
I got a symbio. I have a symbio. I have a Zendaya. You have a Zendaya. And so I.
Hey, it's Zimbio.
Oh, okay,
either way,
it's actually Zimbiote, guys.
there could be that possibility that I guess it could lay dormant in him until something happens. But I feel like even in a hole in my theory is when he's writing his name in blood with his finger, nothing's being triggered. So I don't. That's why I'm like. I don't know. I think he had it when coming into the prison, because why else would he say that, of being like, we have a lot in common. I also only want you to interview me because I know your secret.
But then how does he get his
I'm trying to figure out where he got it from. Unless like, well, okay. So like, what if he, okay. So this is me pulling things out of my ass. So this, the symbiote is basically, he could have got it from anything essentially. It could have been attached to someone else, a host prior that didn't work. When he was on a killing spree, maybe it attached to him and lay dormant. Then I guess
How about this? You got someone who works for the Life Foundation, Jenny Slate's character, who kind of does one of these Charles Manson relationships with someone, with like the serial killer in prison.
And oh my
like,
God.
I love you, Cletus. Here, take this. And he's just like, I'm more into Shrek, but okay.
Stop calling her that. Also, could he have met her before she went into Ravencroft? Because then that could be
a... Yeah, I think like, they had some pre-existing relationship, those two, right?
There could be a part of the trailer we just haven't seen yet that is the beginning, which is like... Mm-hmm. When he is on a murdering spree, maybe he got attached by someone he murdered. I will stick my guns for that. I think right now we don't fully know, but I would believe that someone he killed prior had that host, and maybe he didn't initiate. The symbiote was like, I'm not going to defend you or something because you're weak, and jumped onto Cletus that way.
Yeah,
that's my guns.
I think you're right with the timeline there, Jessica. I don't think Cletus Cassidy was Carnage yet. I don't think he had the symbiote yet when Eddie visited him in that post-credit scene. Mm. Just because he would have escaped. You know, if he already had the capacity to do it, he would have escaped. But I do think, like, he has this idea of Carnage in his head. He's just a deranged, deranged, sadistic killer. So, but what I do think is that somehow through this connection with Eddie... I think we're done with the Life Foundation for now, even though they did have some of the other ones. It was really only that Riot symbiote that was successful, I think.
Yeah.
And I think that's done with for now. It's going to be through Eddie somehow.
And
then through one of their repeated visits to write this story, somehow some piece of him got off and then latched onto it. And then he's just kind of biding his time. But I wonder, what's the activation? Is it just a lethal injection that only now it finally activates?
I don't know if there's any precedent for this. This probably isn't. But like, what if there's a piece of Carnage that like went inside of like, why am I blanking on his name? Cletus. What if there was a piece of Carnage that went inside of Cletus at like an early age, and like that was the reason why he became a murderer? And so when he is about to be executed, the thing's like, all right, I'm going to activate now because my life is in danger. And so, like, he was sustaining himself from the murders that Cletus was doing. He's like, yeah, this is good enough for me. And then all right, now I'm going to mature into Carnage.
That's interesting.
I mean, that would suggest, MT, that, like, there was a previous extraterrestrial arrival on Earth. Because at the beginning of Venom, it showed the Life Foundation brought all these samples back, right? You don't have to say, like, Carnage has a completely different origin on Earth. That arrived through some other meteorite and then, you know,
Something happened, some explorers opened up a cave, and here comes Carnage, the red gloop.
And here comes Carnage. I like that, except for the only part I don't like about that is I like a good friendly story, and I want him to be friends with the Carnage. Though he is a psychopath and a serial killer, I understand that's not okay, but like, he found another crazy thing.
I think he needs to have been his own serial, because that's what makes Carnage so scary, is that this human being was already broken by the time he got his symptoms.
Side fact, isn't he, I don't know if they're going to go by this in the movie, but he definitely is much stronger with Carnage because they're both like on a level of crazy. I don't know. I don't want to say crazy. I'm trying to think of like a technical term for this. So if I stutter, it's because I'm trying not to offend. But
I mean, like when you're talking about someone like Cletus Cassidy, you know, that man's insane.
He's a murderer. That's crazy. That's what crazy was made for.
That's why he's like so much stronger than Venom is because it's like, oh, Venom and Brock are just like, they still have their like miss, like they're like, eh, sometimes. But Carnage and Cletus are both freaking insane, are like, yeah, I just want to murder. Like, I just want to kill. That's, I want destruction. So I think they do need each other. That's how they, like, find each other. So I do agree with UMT. I think that'd be fun if that's like, we've been friends forever. Like, we've been crazy together. But, yeah, I just think that's a side note that is also important to keep.
But we should talk more about Null, because MT, I think you are right on that front. I think that's going to inform some of what Carnage's plan is. Like, imagine, why do you cast Woody Harrelson? That guy's so aloof and detached from reality. He's kind of a hippie, you know? And that's what's so fun about him. Like, you can imagine, you can give this guy any dialogue, and he'll just make it sound sensible, as if this is something he's believed to his core. Like, you know, I keep picturing Woody Harrelson in that movie 2012 where he's just like up in a mountain cabin somewhere on a radio, just like, this is what I promised you folks, it's not the truth. But like that guy can make it work. And like, imagine once he gets infected with this symbiote and like somehow he just starts hearing voices, and that voice from beyond is a voice of Null telling him, he's like, no, you have to make drones, build me an army, build me a following, you know, build me a flock or whatever. Like that, I kind of feel like that's going to inform, it's not just going to be Carnage just like burn the world down. I think he's going to try to establish his own world order.
Would Carnage do that? Yeah. Well, I guess
what he does in absolute
Cletus
Carnage.
Would, but I don't know if Carnage would. Carnage would be like,
well, I'm just going by the absolute Carnage run where he's in San Francisco. He's kicking over homeless people in San Francisco, and he's kind of building a deadly army of drones. It's just trying to like destroy everything. But like, it's his own kind of like it's its own nihilistic approach to what Null believed. Like, he kind of subverts and dethrones Null and what they wanted, I think. And what, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, MT. I think you know that better than I do.
I mean, like, as far as I know, Null's main goal was to basically the Thor, the Dark World thing, where, like, just bring the world back to darkness, back to the time before the Big Bang. So, I haven't read Absolute Carnage, which is like something on my to-do list for this week.
It's very fun.
So I couldn't tell you. But like, I know I've been doing my research on Null, and I know that Null and Malekith are very similar. And actually, fun fact, the reason why, I think this is a fun little connection between Venom and the MCU. The reason why the ether is a sludge is because it was made before the time before the Big Bang, because there was nothing. There was no form. So the ether
except sludge,
and it's why the Venom symbiote is a sludge, because the darkness was before the Big Bang was formless. So like,
or like literal what's it called, plasma, primordial ooze.
Yeah, it's like primordial plasma that used a forge, a celestial forge, to forge into the Necro Sword.
I love that sentence. Any sentence where we can get forge the Necro Sword into.
This is why girls don't answer my text back. It's like, he's going to talk about forging the Necro Sword.
You just haven't found the right girls into. That's all.
Yeah, their name is Eric Voss. If you text them, they'll text back.
Like, Erica Voss? Ooh, she.
Erica Voss? Ooh, she thick.
Oh, no.
Yo.
Or Elvira.
That's right. Mistress of the Night. She'll definitely text.
Hey, girl,
you
know this Necro Sword?
Want to see this Necro Sword real quick?
I'm disgusted. I'm disgusted. Give out the points. Give out the points.
Well, this has been a fascinating conversation. I'm not surprised. You three, you nerds, you guys have great ideas. Well, Jessica, I'm going to give you a point for just being on that timeline. You understand the chronology of events and how that's going to affect. So you get a point for being our timekeeper there.
Time is not a construct.
It's a flat circle.
Owusu, I think you and I are thinking on similar wavelengths with this postcard thing. I think that's going to be very important, the fact that he wrote it in blood. And I think that might be how the, you know, the the contamination occurs. So I'm going to give you a point as well. MT, for being all over this null theory and bringing a necro sword in there, I'm giving you 2 points.
What the heck? Thank you.
You know what I love. Yeah. All right, we have to move on at this point. So we're going to get some thoughts on how Let There Be Carnage could tie into Sony's bigger plans for how they want to pretend like they're in the MCU. But first, a few words from some folks who helped us make Rogue Theory. Actually, first shout out, a quick thank you to our merch partners at Epic Hero Shops, where you can find some great merch options at NewRockStarsMerch.com, including, in addition to shirts and hoodies and stuff like that, we got hats, we got water bottles. Perfect for the months when you want to stay hydrated, try to sneak into a museum exhibit with nobody recognizing you as Steve Rogers. So you can get all this stuff at NewRockStarsMerch.com. We want to thank our friends at Upstart for sponsoring this episode. Paying off debt can feel like an uphill battle. High interest rates can keep you in an endless cycle of debt. Upstart can help you get out of that cycle and get ahead. Upstart is the fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fix monthly payment. Upstart looks at your income and your employment history instead of just your credit score. This means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 to $50,000. Receive funds as fast as one business day after accepting your loan. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payment today when you go to upstart.com/rogue theory. That's upstart.com/rogue theory. Don't forget to use our URL to let them know that we sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/rogue theory. We also want to thank Credit Karma Money for sponsoring this episode. When it comes to free stuff, quicker is better, right? Well, with Credit Karma Money, you can win cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. When you use your Credit Karma Money debit card, you can win daily instant karma purchase reimbursements on items up to $5,000. Just pay it off with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot, and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Credit Karma Money has given away over $3 million in instant karma to over 50,000 members. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning with instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma, sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc., member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Yeah. And, of course, we got to thank our friends at Blue Chew for sponsoring us. Blue Chew has a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no doctor's office or pharmacy trips. It ships right to your door in a discreet package. You sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you receive your prescription within days. Their licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength. And if you hate swallowing pills, good news, Blue Chewable is chewable, just like it says in the name. So if you could benefit from some extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We've got a special deal for our audience. Try Blue Chew free when you use the promo code ROGUE at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code ROGUE to receive your first month for free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, guys, let's talk about Venom and how it's going to connect to Sony's bigger plans in the MCU, because we know Sony partners with the Marvel Studios team for events like Spider-Man No Way Home, which is going to be a major event of some kind that both Marvel, the MCU, it takes place in the MCU, but it's bananas. A Sony production. So they can do whatever the want with it. They can put whoever they want in this movie, and they're showing that. They're putting in Alfred Molina, Doc Ock, from Spider-Man 2, the Raimi era. They're bringing in Jamie Foxx Electro from the Mark Webb era. So Andy Serkis, the director of this movie, clarified that the characters of Venom, Let There Be Carnage are unaware of Spider-Man's existence. But what's a little confusing to a lot of people is we got this other movie, Morbius, Living Vampire, coming out with Jared Leto, and that trailer came out early 2020. And, you know, in that movie, Sony appears to try to make that super tied in with the MCU. Like, we got Michael Keaton, the MCU's Vulture, gonna appear in this movie. All these other clues pointing to Spider-Man being the accused murderer that he was at the end of Far From Home in the MCU. So how is Venom Let There Be Carnage gonna thread this needle? Is it gonna tie into Spider-Man No Way Home at all? Do we think No Way Home might reference the events of Venom 2? Do we think Venom or Carnage could show up in No Way Home?
I think that if anyone's going to show up anywhere, it's probably going to be Peter Parker showing up in the Venom universe, being like, listen up, Eddie, we need your help, and that's all we're going to get. And then, like, they're just going to figure it out between then and their Spider-Verse plans. But I think that, like, the main thing that we're going to get from Venom 2 is just a Spider-Verse tease. Because, you know, you're right. Like, people are confused as to what universe Venom is even in. And then, like, why are they even making Venom movies if they don't seem to line up with these future Spider-Verse plans? So I think that this movie has sort of like a, almost like an obligation for Sony to be like, oh, okay, guys, here's where Venom is in regards to our own whole plan. So, yeah, I think we're going to see Tom Holland show up at the at very end and be like, hello, everybody, it's me, Tom Holland. It's me, American Tom.
I agree with MT. I know, wild. But I agree with MT, I think, ultimately. But it wouldn't it suck to have another situation where we have Tom Holland showing up and just saying, like, Eddie, we need you. And it's the same as we got with Childish Gambino. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but I think it's going to be a fun side movie for us fans that love Venom. I think it's just going to be like, you guys can go to Venom. It's going to be great. You can also go to the old Fantastic Four. It's going to be great, but it's not going to be associated with the, what's going on in the MCU right now. I think it's just going to be a movie on the side. And I also felt that way a little bit about Morbius, but I understand why, like, Peter Parker is, like, the medium for all of this. But I just think it's like, it's just like, you, oh, did you like this person? We're giving them a movie.
Well, Morbius might pop up in Blade way down the line, but I think they might troll us in this next Mobius movie by having Wesley Snipes just pop up for no reason, but not be Blade.
Yeah, I don't think
he's like a bank teller.
I'm the realist in me kind of sides with you there, Jessica. I think realistically, Andy Serkis is directing a movie for Sony and John Watts is directing a movie for Sony as well. But like, he's more in tied in with Kevin Feige and his plans. But like, what's weird is in both of John Watts' previous Spider-Man movies, I want to talk to who on that set is putting in these little references to the Raimi era. Like, the fact that they had that sign for, you know, Bonesaw McGraw in Far From Home. It's like, someone there, who decided to put J.K. Simmons at the end of Far From Home? Was that John Watts? Was that Amy Pascal? Was that Avi Arad? Like, there's someone at Sony who wants this interconnectivity to happen. And I have a feeling that while a crossover of the actors may not happen, we may get a little tease to Carnage's existence, some reference to San Francisco or something like that, to the Ravencroft Institute in No Way Home. And I think it's actually more likely for that to happen in No Way Home than Venom Let There Be Carnage, just for, like, budgetary reasons. Like, I don't know. I would imagine Andy Serkis's budget for Venom Let There Be Carnage is under $100 million. Those movies, they're not spending a lot of money on them. But Spider-Man No Way Home, that's going to have over $200 million, maybe close to $300 million budget. Sony is going to pour money at this, especially now that Disney's co-financing it for 25%. They're going to be like, oh, now we basically have 20% more of a budget we didn't have before. Great, let's spend that money to make this a huge f-ing movie and cross in everything we can.
Yeah, it did really well. So Venom 2 was inevitable. Yeah. And they even teased Cletus at the end of the first one. So, but I think Venom 2 will function a lot like the Disney Plus TV shows, where they're giving someone a side, kind of side character who's not a main MCU person, their own kind of time to shine. So this will kind of function like the Captain America Winter Soldier of the Sony verse in association with the Marvel verse. So I don't think there will be any connective tissue other than maybe a Stan Lee cameo. And so, you know, with J.K. Simmons popping up as J. Jonah Jameson and the Daily Bugle with the InfoWorld style at the end of Spider-Man Far From Home and all these other little things that they're putting in is promo. Because even if they don't, like, make good on putting that person in the subsequent film, it gets us talking. It's like, oh my goodness, J.K. Simmons, is Tobey Maguire going to be in the next Spider-Man movie? Like, this is basically Marvel, Sony, whoever putting two prize fighters nose to nose right before a fight. Like, even if nothing happens after that, it gets us talking and it gets us super excited. And it gets Eric Voss to make conspiracy theory type videos and us to have this platform to talk about what may or may not happen. So everyone wins from them putting these little Easter eggs, and whoever the decision maker is that you were talking about, you know, they're like, ooh, if we put this person there, then they'll think this is going to happen. And then, whoa, it's not. And they'll be wrong.
Owusu, I'm just going to give you the point right now. I think you hit the nail on the head. That is exactly really what Sony is doing.
What?
I don't think they think that far in ahead. I think they're just like, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll get the fans excited.
And that's what I
all
said.
All of these decisions. But he put it in such clear terms, and he compared it to Disney Plus, which I think is right. But I do think cynically that is it. I think they just look at it all as fan service, and they're like, let's just give something to the fans, and I don't think they think that broadly about the implications of it, which is fine, and you're right, it does give us more things to talk about here on YouTube. So Owusu gets the point. But we're gonna move on to rogue questions, because we have some questions I want to hear from you guys about. First off, James Gunn teased this week that there will be multiple post-credit scenes to his Suicide Squad film later this summer. So I want to know from you, what is your most rogue guess for what will be in one of those Suicide Squad post-credit scenes?
Well, hopefully it's a post-credit scene with Ratcatcher, because she survived, because she's my favorite character in the whole team. And if she dies, I'm going to be heartbroken.
I got one. I think Nathan Fillion's probably going to be the first one to go. And when Nathan Fillion goes, I think he's going to get blown up and they're just going to assume he's dead. And then the post credits, he's going to be alive. But then King Shark eats him.
I like it. I think they're going to put in Deathstroke for zero reason.
So on that one, I'm going to give Jessica the point. I think that was a good idea of having King Shark eat the detachable kid. I think it would be funny. All right. Second question. Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman is producing a movie about Renfield, Dracula's assistant, written by former New Rock Stars guest Ryan Ridley.
Oh, that's sick.
I think he wrote on Invincible as well. That guy's great.
Oh, shit.
So the question is, what do you think is the best job perk of being Dracula's assistant?
I mean, if you are also a vampire, I don't know if this character is also a vampire, but I guess you get like free blood probably? I don't know.
Yeah.
Or sloppy seconds. Storing it.
You know, I don't want to be this person to do the callback, but the benefits seem like they'd be very well to be an assistant to Dracula. Not only are you never going to get murdered because you're literally the assistant to the number one murderer, but you never have to worry about food or a place to sleep because you're the assistant to Dracula. So the benefits. Yep. I stole Woo Woo's earlier answer.
It's okay. I'll allow it. I don't know. I think my favorite thing for working for Dracula is, you know, it is a job. And I hate how during day jobs, you know, I can't do anything. I can't go to the bank. I can't get my laundry done till like weekends or nights. But now it's only daytime hours I have available. So that's great. That's a benefit for me.
That sounds awful. You're like, I get to do everything in the morning and everything at night.
Yeah, agreed. So I'm going to give that point to MT. I think the blood, the extra blood is the benefit there. Making MT our winner of episode. Ooh. Birthday boy
yes,
win.
Yes, because you're a cheater.
Hey. I lied. It's not actually my birthday. I only said it to win.
I knew it.
Just kidding, no. That's true.
We should have checked your driver's license.
According to bylaws, if you lie about it being your birthday, it still counts.
Okay. All right. So, no, it's actually my birthday. Thank you.
Can we do a rogue theory on my birthday?
Sure. Well, that's it for this episode of Rogue Theory. I want to thank all of our guests, MT, Jessica Clemens, Erica Owusu. Follow all of them on their social media. Support them in their many projects. You can support our channel by checking out one of our many great merch options at newrockstarsmerch.com. Follow me at EA Voss. Follow New Rockstars. Subscribe here on YouTube, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye, sweetheart.
Later.